Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. The fast-paced life of rock and roll has led to untold numbers of untimely deaths, from the tragic to the tragicomic. The accidents, suicides, murders, and overdoses have inflated the genre with an aura of mystique and melancholy, from the day the music died in 1959 to Amy Winehouse. Part of what makes rock's excesses so exciting, perhaps, is the threat of a life lived on the edge. And every musical death before its time is a reminder that artists chase the muse in often detrimental or just plain unlucky ways. BBC television writer and producer Jeremy Simmons is the author of the Encyclopedia of Dead Rock Stars, Heroin, Handguns, and Hand Sandwiches, now out in its second edition from Chicago Review Press. Jeremy Simmons, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks very much for inviting me on.
How did you get involved in such a morbid topic?
Well, it's long been an interest of mine, shall we say. I've followed rock music since the 70s, and I worked on a TV show over here in Britain, which kind of deals with the, shall we say, the irreverent side of rock and roll. And so many facts and figures about rock death came up, I thought there's got to be a book in this somewhere.
Is there something inherent that sort of leads people to die early?
I guess so, yes. I think it's one of the few fields of our culture that almost actively encourages dangerous living. I kind of think that the amount of money that can come one's way and the lifestyle that comes with that obviously often puts one in line for one or two excesses that might end up costing one's life.
Have people today learned from the people who came before them and, of course, went before them?
I definitely think they've wised up. What we don't see so often now are the kind of drug-related misadventures that we saw maybe sort of 30, 40 years ago. They still exist, but maybe not in as many numbers. But unfortunately, the greatest number of rock deaths are now coming with old age. We've finally reached the point where the characters who hope they'd die before they get old have got old and are sadly losing their lives to natural causes.
Is that the better way to go, do you think?
Well, there's a question. I don't know. I imagine possibly not. If you're like a real hardened rocker, you probably want to, you want to go in a blaze of glory. You know, as Neil Young said and was also echoed by the late Kurt Cobain, it's better to burn out than fade away, so maybe there is something in that.
Well, at least on the side of record sales, it could be helpful to an artist's career and reputation to go out young and at the height of his fame, although in terms of comparing with what someone could accomplish with an extra 50 years, I don't know.
I think that's probably true. I think if you're an iconic artist, then you're far more likely to outsell what you made during your living years after you die, which is the greatest irony of all, probably. I think since he died, Michael Jackson has seen his sales multiply 50 times over.
Amazing.
In the last few years.
Okay, so we know sort of the famous ones, the Kurt Cobain suicide you mentioned, and many of the figures of the 60s and 70s. What are some of the stories that the average music fan doesn't know that are compelling deaths?
Well, there have been many, many bizarre rock deaths, and I've tried to put as many as I can into the encyclopedia. Some that come to mind, one guy from a major band, Mike Edwards, he was the multi-instrumentalist with the Electric Light Orchestra and played with them during their sort of biggest years during the mid to late 70s. He sadly died a couple of years ago. He was crushed by a 6-ton bale of hay, which is possibly the least rock and roll death that there's ever been, but nonetheless tragic and highly dramatic. There have been others, such as Tommy Tucker, the 60s R&B artist. He's the fellow who recorded High Heel Sneakers. He actually died after polishing his wood flooring. He died from noxious poisoning, shall we say, noxious fumes.
When you look through the history of rock music, why are there so many unusual deaths? I mean, is it something where there's a carelessness in certain facets of life because they've been so used to the road or something?
Yes, I definitely think that accounts for a good number of names. If we look at Terry Kath, he was a very gifted guitarist of Chicago. His death was very definitely a misadventure and certainly caused by excessive partying to some extent. He was a huge fan of weaponry. He ended up, sadly, accidentally shooting himself with a 38. His final words were, "It's not loaded, see."
Oof. Are curses real?
That's also a leading question. I think in some cases, definitely. I mean, the curse of T-Rex you could look at. We could look at it as huge coincidence, given the number of deaths that have occurred within that one band. But, you know, fable might suggest otherwise. Apart from Mark Bolan, who obviously died in the car crash in 1977. 3 years later, that was echoed by his guitarist, Steve Curry. And then several years after that, his former bongo player, Steve Took, died by choking on a cherry pit. And then several years after that, Mickey Finn, his sideman, also died in unexpected circumstances. So yes, you could say that curses are very definitely there.
What about if you play keyboards for the Grateful Dead?
Yeah, not a good move. Not a good move at all. They've managed to lose four over a 40-year history, starting off with Pigpen McKernan. He died in 1973. Keith Godshoe died in 1980. Brett Midland died in 90. And then Vince Welnick, who was also a former member of the Tubes, he died when he became the post-Jerry Garcia keyboard player with Grateful Dead. He committed suicide in 2006. So, yeah, maybe it's up there alongside Spinal Tap's drummers. I don't know.
Tell us the story of Stu Sutcliffe, the Forgotten Beatle.
Yeah, Stu Sutcliffe, very sad. I mean, not first and foremost a musician. I suppose that should be remembered. He was a friend of John Lennon's at art school. And, you know, John was very keen that they should play together. But Stuart was far more interested in painting, and his work still changed hands for extraordinary amounts of money now. He sadly died of a brain hemorrhage in Germany in 1962. Very sad, because he decided pretty much to stay there. He was having a relationship there, and he was happy to stay when the Beatles returned to Britain to embark upon, you know, the incredible career they had. And, yeah, sadly, he died several months later without any real diagnosis being made, other than that he'd had taken a blow to the head.
Tell us about the 27 Club. Some members are more famous than others, but who fits into that criteria?
Ah, the 27 Club, indeed, yes. Or Club Stupid, as Kurt Cobain's mother called it. She got the heads up just before she learned of Kurt's suicide. She guessed that this is the club he had gone to join. And by doing so, he joined people like Robert Johnson, Brian Jones, of course, of the Rolling Stones, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, and obviously, as you mentioned in the intro, Amy Winehouse has now joined that club.
I'm hoping just reading the book at age 27 won't be enough to make me join that club as well. We've been speaking with Jeremy Simmons. He's the author of The Encyclopedia of Dead Rock Stars. It's now out in the second edition from Chicago Review Press. It's entertaining, but also terribly sad. So, Jeremy, I just want to thank you so much for your time.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thanks so much.
Good drummer.
Great look. Good drummer.
Good drummer.
Fine.
What happened to him?
He died. He died in a bizarre gardening accident some years back.
It's really one of those things. It was, you know, the authorities said, you know, best leave it unsolved, really. You know.
And he was replaced by
Stumpy Joe.
Eric Stumpy Joe Childs.
Yeah. And what happened to Stumpy Joe?
Well, it's not a very pleasant story, but he died. He choked on. The official explanation was he choked on vomit.
It was actually
passed away.
It was actually someone else's vomit. It was not
ugly. Now, during the Flower People period, who was your drummer? Stampy's replacement, Peter James Bond. He also died in mysterious circumstances. We were playing a festival. Jazz blues festival. Where was that?
Blues jazz festival.
It was the Isle of Lucy.
And it was tragic, really. He exploded on stage.
Just like that?
He just went up.
He just was like a flash of green light. And that was it. Nothing was left.
Look at his face.
Well, there was.
It's true. This truly did happen.
There was a little green globule on his drum seat.
Like a stain, really.
It was more of a stain than a globule, actually.
Dozens of people spontaneously combust each year. It's just not really widely reported.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.